and I am sitting with Lamont Williams from Bridgeport, Connecticut, conducting this interview at Fairfield University for the Art Center History Project. Lamont, can you please state your name for my record?
My name is Cyril Lamont Williams, born in Bridgeport, Connecticut, age 45.
I got you by year.
You got me by year, 45.
That's great. So, Lamont, do I have permission to tape record you today for this project?
Sure you do.
And do we have permission to quote from your interview? We will send you a copy.
More than welcome to do so.
Great. So let's go ahead and get started. Lamont, let me ask you first and foremost, can you tell me where you were born and where you grew up, how you came to live in the city of Bridgeport at the time that you attended the Cultural Arts Center?
Well, I was born in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Started for me at a very early age, born in P.T. Barnum, which is actually one of the ways for the children in the community to kind of have different things to do. The Cultural Arts Center itself was definitely a place that was a, how can I say, it was just space for children to not have to worry about doing a lot of other things. Coming from a community where drugs and a lot of things that happened, and poverty was one of the most biggest things. But we were all family there in P.T. Barnum. And it was just that place for us at the Cultural Arts Center that allowed the community, as far as children in the quote-unquote ghetto, to have something to do than the norm of what was being done in our area. It was so much that was going on then. You know, and I can remember that as if it was yesterday.
What did your parents do for a living?
Well, believe it or not, my dad was not there as much. Coming from a black family, of course, a very big family of 10. My mom raised 10 of us by herself. Mm-hmm. So dad would come in and he would pop out and then he would come in. But my dad himself, he was a train driver. Mm-hmm. He drove the trains for Amtrak, and my mom, of course, receiving social service assistance from the state, from the city of Bridgeport. You know, she taking care of 10 kids. You know, it was very hard with the job that she had. So, but she did that, receiving the assistance as well. She was a school crossing guard, so she made sure she watched all of her kids go to school. So that was a kind of the coolest thing, is to know that your mom was a school crossing guard, coming from PT to go to different schools. And it was one of the things that outside of the Cultural Arts Center, you actually had, we actually had schools in the area. You had Longfellow School, and then you didn't walk more than a mile up the road, and you had Whittier School. So she kind of monitored those two areas for all of the kids that lived in the area to make sure they got to school through the traffic and stuff, which was kind of nice, yeah.
Now, P.T. Barnum was a housing complex, and that's where the Art Center was located. But correct. How did you come to hear about the Art Center?
Well, it was so funny for me. I never forget the very first time that I went. They had a lunch program there. I mean, this is the early 70s that they actually had a lunch program for the inner city kids in the community because of the poverty level. And it only happened in the summertime that they allowed, you know, that they had this lunch program. And it ended up being that they housed the food that they were giving us for the summertime in the Cultural Arts Center. I forgot her name. I believe she's still alive to this day. I forgot her name. She was running the Cultural Arts Center at the time. She had told us, she was telling us, a few of us, the kids, that they had music playing on the other side and the dates that they had it. To me, it was just amazing to hear that they had music, you know. So I was like, oh, okay. I can remember that very, very, very well. So I believe it was on a summertime, school was out, and the program went from that the last day of school all the way up until the beginning of school. And we ended up going to lunch. I don't know what day it was, but so many years ago. But I ended up going that next week, and they had You can learn to play the drums. You can learn to draw. You can learn to play piano. It was just amazing. Your sketchings, you had everything. And it was just, you know, and the people that were there, which is such an amazing, amazing gift to help out the people in the community. I mean, seriously. It had gotten to the point I was there every day. And sometimes they set it up to where we had art on one day. You couldn't do music. Music was on Wednesday, mm-hmm. you know? And if music was on Wednesday, then you had sketching or you had pastels on Friday. It was just so much to do there, you know? But and in order to participate, you had to do the other stuff too. I can remember that. You just couldn't do music. You had to do the art. You had to do that. And, you know, we both know some great people that were there. So that's how it had, you know, became a part of my life. I knew music was definitely something serious for me then when I decided to do it.
Do you remember the approximate dates that you, when you started to attend? How old you were?
I was, at the time, I was about 7, 8. And this was back in, if I can honestly say, this was back in late June of 77. Mm-hmm. Late June of 77.
I just want to say, I remember those lunches. You remember the carton juices?
The carton juices.
Mm-hmm.
The plastic over the lunch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had a sandwich. You had an orange juice, the little carton orange juices.
Mm-hmm.
You had a peach or a pear.
Piece of fruit.
Piece of fruit. They always giving you a sandwich. It was always a cold sandwich. And that was the great thing about it. They never gave us hot food. They always had cold food. You know, and you could either, if you didn't want a fruit, they gave you a banana. Remember they would give us the bananas? That. They would always give us the banana. It was a great way for us to, you know, I guess it was just, you know, the appreciation that, you know, the inner city kids needed something to do rather than be a statistic, mm. you know. And even then, it was really, really bad. It was really, really bad. And just knowing friends that were a part of the Cultural Arts Center that have, you know, been murdered, mm. that have been killed, that we know, mm-hmm. that we grew up with, that started in that lunch program. It all started with that lunch program, which was just amazing.
What did you know anything about the history of the Arts Center, how it came to be there? Or?
I never knew of the history. Mm-hmm. It was just at the time when my mom was telling us that there was a lunch program.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew of the history.
Did you ever call it the Gary Crook Center, or did you always call it the Arts Center?
We've always called it, well, believe it or not, I always call it the Gary Crook Center.
Mm-hmm.
I've always, we call it the Arts, you know, it depends on how we felt that day,
right.
Honestly. It really just depends on how we felt that day, and if we felt great about calling it, I'm going to the Arts Center, or I'm going to the Gary Crook Center, that's what we called it. You know, it wasn't, you know, I knew the history behind calling it the Gary Crook Center.
Mm-hmm. Can you share that?
Well, the history behind it being called the Gary Crook Center was a young man that had pretty much drowned in the particular cesspools behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, what ended up happening from the stories that we were told, a young man was playing in that particular area where you weren't supposed to be, and ended up falling into one of them. And as when he fell into it, of course, apparently, you know, he passed away. So in memorial of him, they named the building after him. So I would assume that maybe perhaps the building itself had probably been there prior to his demise or something. I would believe that.
And when you were there, obviously it was located in PT. The staff members, who do you remember in particular?
Oh, man. there was, of course, your dad,
mm-hmm.
Was such a great, great, great man, Mr. Ralph Williams, Mr. Ben Johnson,
mm-hmm.
and I forgot Mr. Johnson's wife's name. I forgot her name. She was also an artist. It was just those three, and there was a white guy. He did the art. I forgot his name.
Richard Stavis, the photographer?
Yes, the photographer.
Yes.
He was there. So it was those three. And a few years later, then Ben's brother, I'm not sure if he came from Chicago or something.
Jamie Johnson
came. Mm-hmm. He had come in. And we used to all, he was amazing. That's when piano became a part of my life.
Because you were a drummer before.
I was a drummer. I used to compete with you and your brothers, man, about who was going to...
That's true, yeah.
Who was going to play the timbales, you know? Who was going to play the timbales and who was going to do this and who was going to do that? But, yeah, I was a drummer first. I started out as a drummer, which was amazing. And, you know, what I appreciate about that then was the fact that you had kids that you were growing up with that had the same vision as you. And you always tried to outdo each other, and you know that.
Mm-hmm.
We would always try to outdo each other. If we had to do our paradiddles, we would try to outdo each other. If we had to do our flams, we try to outdo each other. It was just amazing, you know. So with that, you know, you always had something to look forward to. And then there were times I can remember, I'm serious, and it brings tears to my eyes, because I can remember those times when the art center was closed. Mm. And it was a day that they weren't open. We were lost. The kids were lost. Because if that day, if it didn't open up that day, you know, we had to resort to other things. And there really wasn't a lot for us to do, you know. So, and sometimes Tina, that's her name. Her name is Tina. The lady that opened up the, she was Brazilian. I don't know if she was something Czechoslovak. I don't know what she was, but Miss Tina used to allow me to, sometimes I would beg her, please, Tina, can I go into the art center, because she had the key. She was the director of the place. And I would go in the back, she would open up the door for me, and I would go in there and play the drums, or I would go in the other room and play the piano. Or I never really messed with the painting, because Mr. Ben Johnson knew his stuff. But the piano and the drums, I would go in there and I would just play. I remember that. So I remember that. And that was one of the most craziest things, because, you know, you really thought your life was going to end because the art center was closed that day. You're like, what am I going to do? But it ended up being something great. It definitely ended up being something great that I really appreciate, that is now a part of my life.
And you talked a little bit about this, but what impact do you think the art center had on you at the time? And what's kind of the lasting impact? Two or three things that you'd say, hey, this really impacted and affected me.
Well, the impact it had on me then was the fact that it was something to do. It kept me from all of the other negative things that was happening around me. Trust me, the negative things that it really, the things that were around me that were so negative, was that it was crazy, because I can actually see the negativity around me on my way to the art center. You can see the drugs. You can see the shooting of the dice back then. You can see the prostitution. You can see just so much. You can see it, the negativity around me. And then, believe it or not, it's amazing how the setting of where we lived was. Because if you notice, P.T. Barnum was in the inset of it, and the Gary Crooks was on the outside of it. So the negativity of where we were, and then to leave from something so negative and surround yourself with so much positivity, it was just amazing. You know, it had been so different had it been in the inside of PT. You know what I'm saying? That's just something different. But, you know, I always felt so safe when I was there. It's just, seriously, you know, I think about it, you know, because I had so much strength when I walked out of that place that I never even noticed the negativity around me when I got home.
Now, you went on to become a pretty well-known musician in high school.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that and how Gary Crooks set you up for that, the Art Center set you up?
Well, the Art Center is definitely, the Art Center is definitely the person and the place that will get the honor due for that, because when it comes to music in high school,
You were known as the one man band. You could make a single drum set sound like an entire. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember those days, man.
That was pretty amazing.
Well, you know, you were bad yourself, so. Yeah, it was because of the fact that the Gary Crooks. Now, see, I'm saying the Gary Crooks of the Art Center. It had a lot to do with that. It had a lot to do with the experience that prepared me for high school. And in my preparation for high school, it was the confidence that I knew that I could do the job, because I was in a place surrounded by my peers and the younger people that we grew up with. And in high school, you know, it's just kind of similar to a competition thing. You know, you want people to be able to appreciate what you do, but then again, they be able to look at you and say, oh, he knows what he's doing. And in high school, of course, they didn't have whole drum sets. So I joined the marching band. And the whole time, mind you, the whole time, and even at the Gary Crooks, I learned to play the saxophone. Remember they used to give us a saxophone? There was always that one mouthpiece you didn't want, you know, because you knew it belonged to someone else, you know? It was just like, and going to high school, and this is amazing, I'm serious, this is like so amazing that, you know, I'm thinking, I'm so excited that going to high school, the preparation was that walking into a place that you knew that you were prepared for. Because of the negativity that you've come out of to a place that's positive, now you're moving. And I was ready to make a name for myself, just for someone just to know that. And when people say, man, where did you go to school? Where did you study? Hey, the Arts Center. PT? Yeah, out there in PT. Oh, wow, there's so much negativity. Yeah, people know. You know, the place itself has a name for itself, of course. And people, whoa, that's where you were born? Whoa. Oh, okay, I'm a little afraid. But I was ready in high school. So I joined a high school band where, because of the Arts Center, he started me on sax freshman year. I want to play the sax. Because of the Arts Center, sophomore year, baritone sax. I don't want to play it. I wanted to play drums. Junior year, because of the Arts Center, he put me on trumpet. Didn't you play trumpet?
Your teeth
played trumpet. I didn't want to play trumpet. I wanted to play drums. Senior year in high school, he finally decided to give me my chance. You know? And of course, I stayed back that year because, you know, whatever. Because then, believe it or not, in high school, when I didn't go to class, I was in music. I was in it. It was just the space. It was just the you know, the place where it reminds me so much of the Art Center. You know, so if it wasn't, I didn't want to go to class then, I would go to the music room.
And you went to high school?
Bassett High School.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What impact would you say did the Art Center have on the community?
Well, I personally believe the impact that it would definitely have on the community will be able to give that community the opportunity as it forwarded me. It will definitely give the kids and that particular place that opportunity to know that there are choices. And, you know, even growing up then, and it's so funny, even growing up then, you know, we had choices. We really did. We really had choices. So when people say there are not many choices out there, I really believe that for these kids that are coming up in this crazy world that we're living in, they would have an opportunity. I believe that. I mean, and especially if it's looking to forward them the same opportunities that he's given me. If it's offering that music, if it's offering that arts program, if it's offering being able to take photography, if it's offering the kids those opportunities, I believe it would definitely be something great. I mean, we're living in a social media world right now, but still, you know, those things hold true. Music is still something that still needs to be played by people. Mm. You know, of course, computers can draw, but there's nothing like the interpretation of drawing through that person. You know, just like music, the interpretation of music can only come from you. And that's where the Art Center has always been special to me, because where I am in my life now, and being able to produce music and play music, that interpretation has come from a place that has been my foundation. And that's what the Art Center has been, seriously. And it will definitely do that.
It ended up actually impacting your work in terms of ministry, in terms of your career and what you've done. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, definitely. It has helped me to become a better musician. And even as my career as a musician, you know, I studied a little bit at Berkeley. You know, I did go to school. I didn't finish, but I did go to school to learn how to get the the know-hows on how to do it. And after doing that, of course, learning how to read, I put myself in a situation to where it's not just reading, but then again, being able to do producing as far as music. And not just that, of course, with God being a part of my life, you know what I'm saying? The one that gave me the gift, and that's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. You know, with him giving me the gift and the art center pulling it out of me, Mr. Ralph Williams, great man, you know, and Mr. Ben Johnson and Mr. Jami, I really, really appreciate those guys. And for me in the ministry, because of the art center, people in the ministry of churches have been blessed, thinking that, wow, he's went to school for this. This has nothing to do with school. It has a lot to do to where it comes from when I was young. And if people, and if you can really honestly take people on a journey of your life when you were little, they would not believe the fact that this little place started me to be where I am today, and to make them feel and appreciate how they feel because of that place.
Now, to your knowledge, why did the Art Center close?
To my knowledge, I was told funding was the issue. I heard funding was an issue. And then the second thing I heard was because of the poverty level and because of the poverty in the area, I heard that, you know, there were many break-ins. There were so much that was going on that they chose not to put the funding back into something like that, which was really, really sad. And it's a sad case because of the fact that, and I don't speak for the people of PT. I speak for myself and the results of what people may need. And what I basically mean by that is sometimes the results of the things that have happened in the past is because maybe they didn't have. So if they broke into the art center to steal something, to pay for, get food or anything, you know, I guess those results affected the financial part of helping the school or helping the art center stay open. You know, sometimes people did things in desperate measures. You know, even now, and if I go out there, I still get this kid feeling that, you know, this is something great. And what really allows me to know that it can still be something great is because it's still standing there with a proud name on it called the Gary Crooks.
You actually answered my next question, which was, how do you think Bridgeport will benefit from the reopening of a cultural arts center?
It would definitely benefit from the reopening because it would hold true to the heritage of a lot of Black people, especially our children. Mm. You know, that with everything that's going on, you know, Captain's Cove buying up a lot of the land and property, you know, that's kind of pushing, you know, our people out of the way. Mm. You know, it's a sad thing that if that was the case to happen, I'm sure there would be a fight to keep the culture also open to where our people can be a part of something to say, hey, listen, this is not something that just opened up. This is something that's been here for some time. And this is what the children need. So I really believe that it would definitely help and benefit the area, especially the culture. I mean, it's just a great place. And I think we've gotten away from holding true to what has gotten us over.
And what would you like to say about the Art Center that hasn't already been asked? Is there anything I didn't ask you that you think?
No. Well, you didn't ask me. No, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, just have me back as one of the. Work is there.
Let me give you a couple rapid fires, just the things that I'm interested in.
Okay, sure.
I think it was interesting for me, the first time that I really, you know, I'd always been around Latinos, Puerto Ricans on my side of town, but the Art Center was the first time you mentioned Tina, where we got exposed to Afro-Latin culture.
Exactly.
Art and music. Can you speak on that? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. It was amazing about that is because we... You know, Black people were not the African Americans weren't the only one that lived in that poverty area. You had a lot of Latinos. What is his name? I forgot his name. He was actually a conga player. He lived in PT. I forgot his name. He wasn't seen as much, but I can remember.
Was it Reuben?
No, not Reuben. He was an older guy. This was an older guy that lived in PT, and I can remember there being times when the art center was closed. He lived in building 10. He would be outside playing his bongos. He would be outside playing his kungas, and it was just amazing. So he would allow the kids to come and play. So now we're tapping into a whole different type of music, and I'm like, well, what kind of music is this? And he was telling us. But this is what they were teaching us at the art center. You know, we had the time where we had to take our hands and put them over, and yeah, you remember.
Now do that again. I gotta
it's amazing. We would actually have to put our hands over the bongos, and we would have to do this until you could not do it anymore. It was so amazing. I can remember this. Mm-hmm. And by the time you get to 20, you're like...
I remember that vividly.
You remember that?
Vividly. Vividly. Yeah. It was almost medieval torture.
I can agree. I can definitely agree. But the Latino part of it was definitely another open door for the communities to connect. And we've even had some white people that lived in the Ellsworth Field area, mm-hmm. that would come to the art center to do music. That was the most amazing part. We would actually have them, you know, and some of the kids, you know, we never were prejudiced to that.
Mm. I'm sorry, Lamar. Yeah. I have to get you doing that exercise because...
You got to be doing that exercise?
Hold on one sec. And while I'm doing that, mm-hmm. I also wanted to ask you, do you remember any students that stand out in your mind? I mean, there are probably half a dozen people I remember you vividly, just because you talked about the competition element. But my brother and I always, when we went to the Art Center, you were there. That was kind of one of those things where we're going to jam today because right. Lamont's here.
Exactly.
We got the drums are taken care of, the timbales are taken care of, somebody's going to play vibes or piano. We're set.
Yes.
The three.
Exactly.
And then maybe Thomas, you know, we look forward to him. But do you remember any of the other students that you went there with and interacting with them?
In art, there was a guy named Leonard.
Leonard? Mm-hmm.
Remember, he was a
I
drawer.
I do remember him.
He actually, if you get onto the Art Center, he drew the Captain America. He drew a Captain America. I actually have the picture. I can send it to you.
Did you keep it? I'm just going to have it.
And
this is just too funny.
Yeah, we used to do this. I mean, I'm 45 right now, and doing this right now is hurting me now.
That's great. Yeah. So I remember Leonardo.
Leonardo.
The Captain America.
Yeah.
Right.
He was, to me, it was, the competition for me was trying to do everything that someone else was doing that I knew was great at. Xylophone, Yotis. Amazing. Amazing. You know, and I wanted the competition was him. What is his name? He used to play the drums. He's my friend on Facebook. Forgot his name. It'll come to me. But my competition then was just those people that I knew were great at what they were doing. Yotis, yourself. I mean, you and on the drums. We used to fight over who was going to play
we
drums
did.
That day.
All the time.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
We would fight over who was going to play drums. And the thing about it was, what really surprised me was the fact that your dad, Ralph, was making sure everyone got the proper time on the drums.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I can admit that. To the point to where I felt more connected, not just because my name was Williams,
mm-hmm.
but because of the fact that there was a connection of us being there in the Art Center.
I felt like it taught us how to share.
Yeah.
I honestly believe, because everybody was talented. I mean, at a certain point, it really didn't matter who was sitting behind that set. We were going to sound, not to sound arrogant, but you kind of knew when that nucleus was there,
yeah.
we were going to sound good. But it was the fact that you knew, hey, I got to learn how to play this because I'm not going to be sitting behind that drum set. And you talked about the same sense of resilience when you went to high school and you're going from sax to baritone to trumpet, but you know you're going to get your opportunity.
Opportunity to do it. And that was the amazing thing, and that's so true, because we were all able to, you know, accommodate one another. We didn't fall, we didn't lack in a certain area. We were able to just, you know, switch and it'd be nothing. Okay, so everyone just shift. Everyone shift. So now you're playing xylophone, I'm playing drums, other ones playing kuhn. And it was just amazing. Mm-hmm. It was just amazing. And one thing I will say, and for me, is that when I talk about the Latinos, if I could go back to that, mm-hmm. the Latinos and the white people and the African American, when we came together, for us growing up, the younger people, poverty did not teach us prejudice. It did not teach us prejudice. Mm-hmm. Because if you can look at where we all were, you know, we were all together. They didn't teach us prejudice. It just didn't. You know, if you were there in the same place as me, you were letting me know you were no better than me. You know, that we grew together. We grew together. Puerto Ricans, Hispanics, white. And I think that was one of the greatest things of where I am today is because coming from a level of poverty, being poverty, you know, in a impoverished area, I never seen anyone better than me because we were all there at the same time.
That's the truth. That's the truth. Lamont, you this was a great interview.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. I'm gonna go ahead and put some pause.
Yeah.
Just talking about the elements of the Art Center with Jami, where really there was this Black history and Black culture component. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, that was one of the most important things that we had when it comes to the Culture Center, the Art Center. It was always around. He was one, Jami Johnson was always one that taught us about our culture, letting us know that we are strong people. We are who we say we are, and we can accomplish anything. And it was so funny, it was never Christmas time, but it was always after Christmas when we did Kwanzaa. And he taught us words like emoji, mm-hmm. kuji chakalia, means self-determination,
mm-hmm.
those things, and we had songs about them. And it was always after Christmas, they would rent out the big room, and I never forget it. That one time, I never forget it. It was so funny. We were actually in there, and we were playing the drums, and we were just in the spirit of Kwanzaa. And I'm serious, something like came over me. It was just amazing, you know? And that was one of the things, like you said, we were talking about, you know, is what he had brought to the Black people and to the area. Because that was one of the things we didn't have. We just had the Culture Center. We had the Art Center. We had music. We had all of that stuff. But that was something that he bought. And he always wore his coos, you know. He stayed true to who he was.
He had this charisma about him.
Yeah.
But it was the poetry. It was the Black arts. You
mm-hmm.
know, for lack of a better term, kind of an Amiri Baraka. It was always the plays.
Yeah,
and
You
know, he was always getting us. And you had mentioned something. You said, you know, he always got us to sing. I never thought about that as being significant, except that as young people, we're very shy.
Exactly.
So to be in that space and we sing it.
But we did it because my friend was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We did it because we were all in the same area. So if you can do it, and if I can see you doing it, then I can do it too. And that was the power we had. It's because in learning, we learn together. And that's where our strength came from. Learning together as African Americans, that we have so much in us. And that's what we need to get back, to learn that we can work together for the Art Center. And I think that's one of the greatest things that will help the Art Center, is the fact that if you put people in a place where everyone can learn together, no one's bigger than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we are. I respect who you are as a person. I'm so proud to know where you've come from and to see you where you are. And I'm sure you feel the same for me.
Absolutely.
And a different light, you know. But we've learned together. And that's what I think it is, the power we have. And that's what Jami brought. He brought that. I mean, and I would sit there and listen to him play. And I'm like saying, I want to play just like that. I want to be able to do that. I don't want the beard. I don't want the scruffy beard. I don't want the koofy. I don't want that. I just want to be able to play like that.
Do you remember Signifying Monkey?
Yeah, Signifying Monkey, stay up in your tree. You are always lying, signifying, but you ain't gonna monkey on me.
That's it.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. On that note, that's phenomenal. Thank you, Lamar.
Love you, man. Thank you so much for that.